the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
There's nothing like taking a little time to pause and catch your breath. Here on the Edge, Brains, right here, this is the spot. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. All the way from across the pond, right there, is Sharon Eden. I am honored to have her here on the Edge with us, Brains. I found her so fascinating. I love her moxie. I love her drive and her zeal and zest for life. She is a woman that is a spiritual healer. She works with women primarily to help unclear some blockage. And you guys know we all have blockage. It's almost as bad as a colonic. But we want to release that energy. We want to talk about the great work that she's doing. We want to hear a fascinating story that she's going to share with us, how she got her nickname, the Wild Elder. So Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge today, Sharon Eden, all the way from London Town. How are you, precious?
I'm gorgeous, thank you, April. I'm delighted to be here with you.
You're beautiful. So here's to you. Cheers.
Cheers, my lovely. Cheers.
I was supposed to be in Europe. I wish I was there with you real time, but, you know, the world has been so topsy-turvy. It really has.
Yeah. Crazy, actually. Totally crazy.
It is. So tell me where you are in the space and a little bit about you.
Where I am in the space, well, funnily enough, when people say to me, where do you come from? I normally say to them, heaven, actually, because I totally believe that we can create heaven here on earth. And it's absolutely up to each one of us. And I'm saying that because way back, my life was definitely not heaven. And I had to go a whole long journey myself to free up my own blockages and access more of the magnificent woman I am. So that's the space I come from, that actually you can be the most gorgeous, magnificent woman that you really are. So that's the space I come from. Always. The other thing, of course, is blockages. I love that word that you used. We do all have blockages. Blockages can be the greatest gift that you have. Because people think it's a bad thing. But actually, if you turn it around, it releases some of your potential. Who you're really meant to be rather than who you were trained to be. So that's where I come from.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't know who you are until you really kind of explore and go deeper in your subconscious mind. And there are so many people, me included, that have not even resonated with that other 95% of who we really are.
Yeah.
And so you are a psychotherapist. As well.
Yes, I am. I trained nearly 40 years ago. I trained for 7 years to become a psychotherapist. So I have that bag of tricks. But also, when you belong to a professional organization, you have to do continuing professional development. So over the years, I've trained in loads of different approaches and stuff. I trained as a coach. I've trained as a healer. I've trained in Eastern philosophy and therapy as well as Western. So when I work with somebody, I've got this huge bag. So that if you saw me work with three different women, you'd see three different therapists. It becomes absolutely bespoke, just right for the person I'm working with.
Well, are you gauged spiritually, energetically, emotionally? How are you equipped to tap into different people and use these different modalities?
Because my being is just a channel for the healing. So as well as all the skills, you know, the practical skills I've learned here on Earth, I have what I call beyond energies. You know, I don't give them names like psychic or medium or clairvoyant, none of that. I just call them beyond energies. And so they get channeled at the time I'm working with the person. And that's what makes the difference.
So now, how did you realize your gift? What was your aha moment in your awakening?
Okay, so how I realized my gift, in the framework of psychotherapy I was trained in, my core framework, you work with parts of the personality. So for example, if you're in inner conflict, we talk about there being two different parts of you that are having a punch up. Like the part of you who wants to be a socialist, very pertinent in America now, because that's what people are saying about the Democrats, that socialists, actually they're not. But anyway, there's a part of you that wants to do great good and give everything away. And there's a part of you that wants to be have an art collection. And the two of them would be in conflict. One is me, and the other is give it away. So what we do is I help people to externalize, like they've got two people sitting on the couch having a conversation. Because the only way you can resolve conflicts, inner or outer, is to communicate, to talk with each other, or the two different sides to talk with each other. And one day I was doing that, but I was doing that with a woman who'd lost her father. So I never tell people what to say or do. I just kind of said, and what does your dad want to say to you right now? And this conversation continued, and I went, hang on a moment. There's more to this than doing the classic, ordinary sub-personality work. Yeah. I just felt the energy. And then what had been happening, which I wasn't owning, was that I would get information about my client that I couldn't possibly know. I couldn't know it. For example, with one woman, I was working with her, and what I saw was a purple painted room. And I said to her, look, this is really off the wall. What I'm seeing is a purple painted room. Does that mean anything for you? And she began to cry, and it was actually the room she was abused in as a child.
Oh my God.
So that kind of opened that up so she could work with what happened to her and do whatever healing she needed to do.
Now, so, being a psychotherapist is one thing because it's based upon science. And science is factual. There's, you know, scientists deal specifically with the facts. But when you're dealing with the metaphysical and the energy and the spiritual world, you're opening yourself up to a different modality. Were you nervous? Were you scared when you realized that you had these gifts?
Luckily, the psychology I'd been trained in for the 7 years to become a psychotherapist also included the spiritual element.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, I know. It's fantastic. Body, feeling, mind, and your oomph, whatever you believe your oomph to be. It's actually called psychosynthesis. So if any of your listeners know it, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Brains. They're not just regular listeners. They're brains.
Exactly. So lots of them will know about it. However, when I did start going, hang on a minute, I'm getting more than just ordinary here, I was nervous. And I kind of went, God, I can't use this. you know, it's scary. And it took a little while for me to actually own those energies and own my particular way of working with the metaphysical.
So do you go into a trance-like state when you're able to channel?
I've had
one woman on my show, she channels Mozart.
Oh, bless her, yes.
I was amazed, and I didn't believe her at first, you know. Well, no, I didn't believe her at first. I'll be honest with your brains. You know, I'm like, whatever. But she did, and I said, do you channel with your eyes open or closed? Her voice changed, everything. She even told me Mozart kind of liked me, that I was a nice person. But it is, I mean, you are going through something. And so let's back up a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the story of your mom.
Okay, so that was about 5 years ago. So the story here is, I was being called, at that time, I was specialized in working with depression, and I'm shit hot at that. Six sessions, you're either recovered or you're well on your way to recovering. But I knew I was being called to do something more, and I didn't know what it was. Just at that time, my mum was diagnosed with a fatal illness. So all that had to go on the back burner. My sister's in America. I was here. I'm the only one. So there was a period of my mum being in hospital, out of hospital, and a whole period of her passing. And just a few days before she died, she said, she was in another room, and she said to nobody in particular, "What a waste of a life." Oh. And that hit my heart. It kind of knocked me out. It was just so, it was heartrending, really heartrending. So a few days later, she passed, and, you know, we're busy with her being buried and the family and the mourning and everything and everything. And as that went by, I went into turmoil. So it was the grieving for my mother, but also what erupted again was this being called to do something more. And to cut a very long story short, I got clues. So the first clue was, you're working with women. That was my first clue. And then what happened was I got what I call downloads, drips of information. And then one day I just got it. You're working with women so they never have to say before they die, what a waste of a life. And so that became my mother's legacy. It wasn't just the work I was being called to. For me, it was my mum's legacy too.
Wow. Well, you know, you don't have to go into too much of it, but why did your mother feel that her life was wasted?
Because at heart, she was a really bright woman. She was born 1936, I think it was. And she was a bright girl who passed the scholarship to go to a grammar school, but her parents couldn't afford the uniform. So she never went. And the whole life was spent doing menial stuff. And she ended her days when she was retired. She loved her garden. She had a little garden. But her days were really spent watching telly. I think that's what made her think right at the end.
How many siblings do you have?
I have just one.
Okay, so it was you and your sister being brought up. Did you, as you grow and you developed, what encouraged you to go to university and to catapult into the world of psychotherapy? It's a lot of training. It's a lot of schooling. Did you look back at your mother's life and say, you know what, there's more to life that I want to explore? Did she encourage that? What drove you there?
No, my family were very funny because I also got a scholarship to the best girls' grammar school in London, UK. And there's a whole story about how I was taken out of it. So there was a history of not achieving. But I got to my late 20s and I thought I really wanted to be a clinical psychologist. So this is all unconscious then, April. It's not, I wasn't conscious about it. There was this urge to help people, to go and help people. So I did a psychology degree, and the one I did at the time totally disillusioned me. It didn't seem to be about people and what they really needed. I'm a human being and it didn't touch me. And that's when I discovered this training that included body, feelings, mind, and your oomph, your spirituality, to be a psychotherapist. And when I started that training, I learned that it was actually me who needed a hell of a lot of help. I had to learn to start healing myself before I could help other people do it too.
Let me ask you, what is a psychotherapist versus a psychiatrist?
Okay. So a psychiatrist will already have trained as a medical doctor and prescribes medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, they will have spent, I don't know how long it is in the US. I know over here it's about 7 years too, to train as a medical doctor. And then they specialize for so many more years learning how to be a psychiatrist. And the method of healing is based on the medical model. So they work with disease. Okay. So, you know, you've got this disease, it's got a label, you get this medication. And there is some personal work. It really depends upon the psychiatrist and what they've trained in. Whereas a psychotherapist, and there are many different schools, in my particular school, which was psychosynthesis, what we're working with, we see problems as clues to the potential that's trying to emerge out of the problem. Any problem we have at one time would have been the wisest and most creative thing we could have done or believed or whatever in order to survive. You know, when we're little, we've got few resources. We do stuff, we learn stuff, we learn beliefs in our family and think they're true. So when you come across somebody who's got a problem, where I come from is, what's the potential here? What is their wild soul urging them to dig deep and uncover that's part of their original design? That's part of who they're meant to be rather than who they're trained to be. So that's my approach as a psychotherapist. Traditional psychotherapy, you do go through the past. You know, you go into their past and what happened and see patterns. However, the way I work is I do work with the past, but very much in the present. So, you know, if Uncle Joe, used to burn his cigarettes on your favorite toy when you were 10, that will inform something that's happening in the present. So I don't go looking for stuff. I work in the present and see what from the past needs clearing up with a focus on now and the future, unlocking yourself.
So you deal also in past life regressions. Do you do psychology with people? Is this done with deep meditation? Is this talk therapy? Is this supported by drugs? I mean, outside of your spiritual modality, how do you get people in this trance-like state to do these past life regressions to springboard them to where they need to be now?
Past life regression is a whole nother way of working with people.
Oh, okay.
So you see, I like simple. I like simple, April. The more simple we make things and the more simple we work, right? the quicker, the more powerful the changes in us. So I don't put anybody into a trance at all. Sometimes they put themselves in it, and that's okay. I just work with whatever they're saying, whatever the energy is. It's just so easy. So, for example, remember that I'm a channel as well, plus my body has always picked up information from a client. So if I'm sitting with the client, and it's happened sometimes, I sometimes kind of nodded off to sleep, which is like an absolute sin in the industry. But the, you know, if I kind of nod off, they would say, "Oh, am I boring you?" Right? And I reply, "No, but I wonder if you're boring you."
Wow.
Boom! And that will open something up. So no hokey pokey, no going under the influence of anything at all. It's just me blessed to be an instrument of healing and working with an individual. The founder of Psychosynthesis was this amazing Italian called Roberto Assagioli. And one of the wise things he said was, all our techniques are to keep the personalities busy so the two souls can get on with the job of healing. And so whenever I'm working with somebody, it's not just, I mean, we work to resolve whatever problem they have, but at the same time, I've got that bifocal vision. Okay, what is their soul calling to them? What is the potential that their soul is urging them to discover in themselves and manifest here on earth?
So you mentioned, you said two souls. Is that the yin and the yang? What do you mean by dualities and two souls?
Okay. So if you like to think, let me think of a lovely, juicy metaphor. Okay. Oh, I can't think of one. Isn't that annoying?
That's okay. We can come back.
I'm just going to trust. Hang on a minute. I will get something. Okay. So here we are, walking, talking, automaton. Right? That's what we are. I call this our spacesuit. Okay. This is how we communicate with this world of form. Okay. If you have ever been with somebody when they've passed, when they're dying, at the moment of their death, something leaves them, or even the few days before, you can see in their eyes, the animating energy, the oomph is going or actually goes. So a soul can be anything you want it to be, but for me, it's that, I want to smile. You know the word hallelujah?
Right. You feel joyous. I mean, again, it's a separation between time and space. I get it.
Yes, totally. And that, for me, is the energizing force in us. And for most people, they live separate from that. You know, they're good, they go to college, they do a job, they have 2.5 kids, the house, the mortgage, blah, blah, blah. They look forward to retiring and then boom. But actually, that's not living fully. Mm. That's okay. That's what most people do. And there's more. Like I said, we can experience heaven here on earth. Not that I experience heaven all the time. As you know, I just had a medical procedure and I certainly was concerned about what might be lurking there that was causing my problems.
Right, right.
Thankfully, it looks good, actually. But I was worried. I was concerned, the same as anyone would be. So I'm not, I like to say happy clappy. You know, some people, they're just happy clappy the whole time. It's like, ooh, get real. actually, life has its ups and downs. True or not, April?
Well, you know, that life is up and down, and without the challenges, we would not recognize and be able to appreciate the rewards in life too.
And absolutely.
So this is a journey. This is not a destination, brains. This is a journey. And so we have to be able to navigate in, out, up, down. We have to be able to open ourselves up to different modalities, different ways of thinking. So many people are stuck.
Yeah.
That's the problem now. And I think that this COVID-19 has really turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because it has caused people to stop. I like to call it the perfect pause.
Yes.
It has caused you to stop, whoever you are, no matter how pretty you are, how rich you are, how thick you are, how thin you are. Everyone has been impacted by this simultaneously. You know, a lot of people are talking about moving to 5G, and it's a different frequency. There's people that don't believe in aliens. I don't know why. I don't know why we're so ignorant to think that we are the only ones in the solar plex in this universe here. You know, I've got some friends that say that we are probably the weakest species, because we're still fighting over the most asinine things, like the color of your skin. We have no choice about that. Economic poverty, you know, the haves and the have-nots. But there is so much more to embrace and to love about yourself and about your fellow man, about the water and the animals. There's so much in this life to enjoy. I'm getting goose pimples right now, because it just hurts me that people are so small. You know, they're still playing small, and there is so much that we don't know. The great people like you that are teaching 6-week online courses to try to tap into and resonate into that other frequency. Tell us about your program, Sharon.
Okay, well, at the moment, what I'm running is an online experiential masterclass. So that means you get involved. And that is, it's called A Letter from Your Wild Soul. My next one is on the 2nd of September, and I have just 2 places left, 10 women. And in that, I help you access your wild soul, that you actually have an imaginary and visceral experience of that aspect of your being that is your perfect inner guidance system. Who needs to ask loads of people what to do when you have your own inner wisdom there? And during the session, you meet your wild soul and you learn how to communicate with it. And later in the autumn, I'm starting a 6-week online women's circle, which is all about your personal and spiritual development. And wild soul will definitely be part of that. And included in that, I will have a couple of guests. One of the guests is a wonderful woman who teaches how to read tarot. And the other one is actually a wonderful man who is a master in Kijong. I never say the word properly.
Yeah, Kijong. Yeah, I have some friends that are into that. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so he will be coming and sharing in a session how to work with your essential energy through the body. And I'm just excited about it, because again, this is more of my mum's legacy. She thought her life was wasted, and I've taken that to make sure as much as I can, like I said, that no other woman I work with will ever have to say that.
Did she have a spiritual insight, your mother, that she didn't realize or didn't utilize?
She used to talk about my friend up there. So that's what she used to talk about. In terms of spirituality, that's as much as she ever said. But she had a particular love for her garden. She was just crazy about her garden. And I think that when she went out into her garden, as loads and loads of people can, it's so simple. When she went out there and connected with nature, I think that's probably where she made her spiritual connection.
Is your sister very spiritual, or is she afraid of it? Does she call it, you know, hoo-hoo, or, you know, my sister's different?
Well, my sister has been involved in lots of different aspects of spirituality.
Okay. So she has her own walk and her own journey.
Yeah, yeah. She's got her own stuff that she's working with. Yeah, for sure. But totally different from me.
Well, you are definitely the wild elder. I have enjoyed this so much, and I've learned so much from you. And so much to look forward to. I know that we will stay connected. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you for your online courses, and just to connect with you on a much deeper level moving forward.
Absolutely. So for my 2nd of September online experiential workshop, A Letter from Your Wild Soul, you can go to Eventbrite and you just put the title in, A Letter from Your Wild Soul, and it will lead you. I've just got 2 places left for that. You can contact me at my website, which is www.thewildelder.com. I have a wonderful Facebook women's group, a private group called Wild Courageous Women. So you can find me there too. And do join up. Either join my subscribers on the website or join me in Wild Courageous Women, because you will always be the first to know about my online women's circle coming up in the autumn.
And that's so important, to connect with someone else, because brains, you're not alone. And you don't have to travel this journey alone. You've got great facilitators like this beauty right here, Sharon. But you also have sisters that are going to walk with you as fairies, as your goddesses, as your guides. Because again, we have to get used to this. You're not alone. And you're not the only person. As my mother says, there's nothing new under the sun, you know? So we just have to be able to be open to it, not be afraid of it, because we have someone to walk with us, beside us, and hold our hand through the journey. Thank you so much, Sharon, for being here on the edge with me and my brains.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I have been delighted to be here with you, April. You're a beautiful soul woman. Well,
thank you so much, And come back, keep us informed as to what's going on. If there's any way that we can support you, to encourage you, to make your light shine even brighter, know that we are here for you on the edge, okay?
Thank you.
You're brilliant, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.